This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Time you read about it in the Wall Street Journal, it's already too late.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up, down, sideways.
The only problem you're going to have is that you didn't buy more. Let me lock in that trade right now and get back to you with my secretary with an exact confirmation.
All right, welcome back. It's buy or sell time here. Angel, we got the big ratings. It's out there. 12.3 million viewers. Are more than a lot of different professional and college teams or seasons and stuff between that Iowa and LSU game. That was the average, was 12.3 million viewers. Buy or sell, that is here to stay. Or was it Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese?
I'm going to say it's more the players and the stories going into it. It's tough to say because it took the last year for that rivalry to start and then have us interested to the rematch.
Sure.
So, again, who's going to step up in the place of those two players in women's college basketball that's going to grab that kind of national attention without trying to copy what they were doing?
I know I made this comparison earlier, but it does remind me of Tiger Woods, Angel. It reminds me of golf. When Tiger was doing his thing, it was Tiger Woods and name another golfer. That's what it was. And so the fear was, when Tiger's gone, what happens to golf? Now, golf has actually made it okay. They've had Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy. They've had some really good golfers. But at the time, we were terrified that was going to happen. So here's what I'm going to say. I don't think it's here to stay right now. I think it goes away for a while, and then they're going to have to build some new players up. It's just not that strong. It's not strong enough yet. I'm sorry.
Did Kobe kind of capture the same popularity as Michael did?
Yeah, I would say so. Michael started this wave of popularity in the 90s where it was obviously Hakeem was a tremendous player, but we paid more attention to him. Penny Hardaway came along with Shaquille O'Neal and with the Orlando Magic. I talked about Reggie Miller, and that was kind of a 90s thing. And then, Angel, what happened was things kind of slowed down. You know, Jordan's gone. What are we going to do? And then a few years later, Kobe. Wow. And then you started building up Tim Duncan, Spurs, and, we're going to build these guys up. And we've got a bunch of different teams starting to come up. So it does take stars. I mean, I know that sounds like an obvious thing, but it takes stars and it takes marketing them well. So college women's basketball hoops, that's dumb. They need to find their next couple of stars. And it ain't Mulkey by herself. Mulkey is entertaining, but she can't carry it. It's not going to be a coach. You need the players.
Right.
Buy or sell that Wimby is the future?
He's extremely talented. I think the rest of his team needs to become better. Or it's going to put this weird pressure on him where maybe down the line he wants to get out of San Antonio. Can you have a Giannis-type upbringing where you become the guy and then your team comes up with you? Or is it, I'm the guy, Popovich is getting older, I need a coach that's going to get me on a team that's going to go win stuff?
Well, yeah, how long is Pop going to be there? You know, I mean, does he want to? Is he going to see this thing through, the rebuilding of the Spurs?
I mean, maybe build it up to the point where you can hand it off to someone.
I don't... Okay, here's another one. Buy or sell, Greg Popovich ever wins another championship.
Sell.
Yeah.
I don't think
they get there before
he's
ready.
I think Wemby will win a championship or two. I don't know
sure.
If he'll win it in San Antonio.
Who would Wemby pair well with? It's like we're talking about wine. I'm trying to think of different players. Could a Wemby Ama and a Steph Curry pair up? Could you see that happening?
sure. I mean, Wemby has such a massive skill set that he can do pretty much anything, and that's going to continue to develop as he goes.
Yeah.
You know, we'll have to see. You know, it took Jokic a few years to find that real two-man game with Murray that we know and love now. But even then, they came in together, but they didn't have that type of chemistry until the last 4 or 5, 6 years.
Yeah. And again, with Wemby, his body type, the skill set he does have, imagine what's going to happen when he's 2 years in.
Yeah, and what's the, not the answer, but what is the counter to Wemby?
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, you look at a guy like him and you think, well, big bodies can maybe knock him around. Like, mm-hmm. thick bodies can knock him around. But
like a DJ Burns type.
Yeah, so he, you know, DJ Burns, is he a future NBA or a future NFLer?
He's a future Nugget.
I mean, could you see him play for an NFL team? I've heard those comparisons. Like, he could be an NFL guy.
Yeah, maybe. But, I mean, he's got good basketball skills. For his size, like,
he's got good
footwork. He could do those little pull-up jumpers. Like, yeah.
No, him and Joker are going back and forth. It's just a compliment fest between those guys. Mm-hmm. So it's cool to see. Buy or sell. The Rockies aren't this bad, are they? Tell me that they've just, you know, it's just the early season. They'll round out. They're not this bad, are they?
It's tougher to defend them as the days go by. I don't think they are this bad. But it's just nothing. They're not going to get any breaks from anybody. You have to go out and earn your every single run, every single win.
You got
to
be perfect right now.
Yeah.
In order to win games. They're just not good enough for luck to happen. When you're great, great teams sometimes just find ways to win.
Yeah, they're not in the stage and they're not good enough to have that confidence to, yeah, we're going to go win this game. And it's like, it's kind of, okay, let's get to 3 innings. If we're not losing by 7, then we got a shot. Or if we can get a couple of innings going with the hits, we got a good shot at winning this.
I just can't see them being that bad, man. I just can't. They are, though, right now.
Ooh.
Kyle, buy or sell, Kyle Freeland is a starting pitcher in 2 months.
Sell.
Mm.
I would send him down to the farthest depths of the minor league.
And there it is, buy or sell. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Chipper's Lane's poll question of the day. Angel, will Nikola Jokic pass up Alex English in the all-time on the all-time scoring list before it's all said and done? Anyway, even Sanford came on and said, yeah, I could see him finishing that career or that contract, and then he sails off into the sunset, into the Serbian sunset, and rides away with one of his horses.
Yeah, I mean, I could see him finishing second. I think that's, I think he's got like, 7,000-8,000 points to get to pass English.
Yeah, he'll that's going to be tough.
Yeah, he'll have every other record, multiple championships, multiple MVPs. Yeah, I don't need to have him on the number one point scorer to be like, yeah, see, Jokic is unequivocally the best ever.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, it would be nice because it would just make it like,
I mean, it took LeBron playing until he's 45 to get the all-time scoring record.
Yeah, it would take a lot of time. And that's the big fear with Joker, you know, is that how long does he want to do this? He's got three. So the contracts are interesting, Angel, for the Nuggets. Joker's got next year, and then he's got the 25-26 year and 26-27. 3 full years. Those are in. 27-28 is a player option. Now, he'll be poised to make that year almost $63 million in a year.
But did the MVPs add any extra into that?
That, I think that's why he got the max. So he's the last contract he signed, he had already won the first one, right?
Yep.
He hadn't won the second one.
Yeah, so that the max one he got was because of your first MVP, and that's kind of like, okay, now you have unlocked this next contract.
It's like you unlocked another level.
Right.
So he's going to waive $62 million, right, when it comes to it. He's not going to take that. They're going to have to restructure. Mm-hmm. $62 million. First off, that's 3 years from now. This thing keeps growing. There's more money. There's more popularity, all of it, right? We've never seen it really go down.
can you approach it in sports where it's we know what our window is. This is our realistic expectations, 2-3 championships, and we'll probably be okay with that.
I think 2 or 3 is very successful.
And it's not, okay, we're going to try to drag this along as much as we can to try to win as many as we can, and you end up like the Warriors who are kind of falling apart.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too. By 26, 27, Joker, odds are he'll still be at the same level because he doesn't – his upper body takes a pounding, but his legs don't.
Right.
You know, and then that's the thing. Most guys, their tires are flat. They give out, low on the air. So if I were a betting man, I'd say in the year 27, 28, if he is playing still, he's still at a pretty high level. He'll be in his what? At that point, he'll be in his 30s. But what does the rest of this team look like? Jamal Murray, you got to figure that one out now. And I know you and I have talked a lot about that because that does bring up that conversation about Luka. Because Jamal, his final year in his contract is next year. If they're going to do anything, it's going to be after the playoffs this year. It's going to be over the summer.
Yeah, and it doesn't help that he hasn't played in 6 games at this point in the season.
Where are you on that? Because we had this deep conversation about maybe you don't re-sign him and you hope you get Luka in 2 years. It's basically almost a year you have to go without, arguably, your second best player on the team.
I mean, I love Jamal. He's the guy. It's great to see him win with this team. But I wouldn't be depressed if they didn't re-sign him.
I figured you were going to, like, reach through the phone and hug Sanford when he was talking about Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah, that has me excited.
Because he
give me a year of MPJ, or Gordon, and Jokic, I think they do all right.
I would be curious. I'm not saying I'm excited about it, but I'm either or. I'm lukewarm on the idea of Michael Porter Jr. being a fixture, being a focus.
No,
I don't know if it would work, but it might.
He's shown that since the All-Star break. He has definitely shown he has that ability on a consistent level. This year, in terms of his health, I think he's only missed 1 game.
Well, he is out of the big 4 for the Nuggets, outside of Joker. He has the longest contract. His contract takes him through the 26-27 season, right up to Joker's next year, which is the player option. Gordon is also interesting because next year will be his second to final year because he has a player option in 25-26.
Could you foresee them developing a Jalen Pickett or a Christian Brown into that point guard role?
Too soon to tell, still.
If it's just a year that you're waiting to go try to get Luka, I think you can figure something out for you.
I don't see it with Christian Brown, but there might be a rental out there. Mm-hmm. Reggie Jackson upgrade, you know, yeah. A guy a little bit better than him. I don't know. I'm going to throw
Bruce Brown.
At point.
There's your guy.
Yeah. I mean, he has 1 more year. He has a year left. Was he released? No, he wasn't released. He was traded.
Yeah.
So he's got the year. He's in Toronto, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's got a year in Toronto. Well, if you don't re-sign Jamal, you might be able to. Oh, no, he'll be a free agent.
Yep.
Yeah.
You can get Bruce Brown for a year.
As a point guard.
And then you say, hey, love you. You want to go back to the bench? We're bringing Luka.
The Nuggets got to win a championship this year, Angel, because even with the Luka dreams and all that, there's a lot of uncertainty after next season. And maybe even already in the offseason, because if the Nuggets don't get a deal done with Jamal, that might be
it. Would he play on his last year? Or would he
live
out or anything?
I think he would play. I mean, he's going to make $36 million. But what does his contract look like? He's never been an all-star, so he's not going to get much more than that.
Right.
I mean, does he hit the 40s?
Depending on salary cap, if it goes up or not.
Man, for the bargain, you have Aaron Gordon in a bargain. He's averaging $23 million a year.
But, I mean, if you don't sign Jamal, could you go get an all-star point guard out of the East somewhere? Trae Young or something?
Well, if Luka's not a realistic thing right now, what would Steph Curry and Nikola Jokic look like? Because isn't Steph up? Isn't his contract up?
Yeah.
Whole lot of three balling going on there. 20 minutes after the hour. Cody Tucker going to join me. Let's talk. Let's get some updates from the Wyoming Cowboys side of things. How's Coach Savell doing there with his first spring ball as the head man. It's the whole show powered by Chevron.
Keep it tuned to Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for Preps Baseball.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Talking all things Wyoming Cowboys football now with Cody Tucker, our Cowboys insider from 7220sports.com. Cody, what are you learning so far, man? What's sticking out to you? And again, practice is spring practice. I don't know. You tell me what you take from these kind of things, man.
Well, I have learned that you guys get a big congrats. Apparently, you're getting something called the Nuggets and Avalanche. I don't know what those are, but
hey, you admitted a while ago. I think we have it on tape that you kind of were in on the Nikola Jokic kind of thing, right? You admitted
I don't know this Nicole person, but I did see him do something amazing at the buzzer when I accidentally turned it to a channel that was playing that god-awful NBA stuff.
You know, and you're in, man.
And I do go watch my Buffalo Sabres play the Avalanche, so I am familiar with them. And I hate that they're so good, and damn you Colorado people, and you have really good basketball and hockey, and the only sport I care about down there is the Broncos, and they're god-awful, so I'm bitter.
Well, life is about balance, Cody. I'm sure at some point in your life you saw the Avengers movie or heard of it with Thanos there, and it's about balance. Yes, the Nuggets and the Avs are great, but the Rockies actually, I mean, they physically hurt my eyeballs last night. I can't even explain how, but they actually hurt my eyes.
Yeah, and isn't it true that the Avalanche and Rockies and Nuggets and stuff aren't even on TV? So that should help the radio station even more.
Well, yes, it is, unless you have DirecTV. DirecTV has the Avs and the Nuggets, and I think DirecTV also has the weird Rockies channel now that it's off. But but yes, most outlets don't have it, so you know we pounced on the move, Cody. We took advantage of the situation.
Yeah, well, I'm going to shift my focus to Wyoming football, and rightfully so, and gladly so, and so far so good, man. It's a word I keep hearing around here, Brady, is refreshing, and nobody's trying to dump on Craig Ball whatsoever, but there's no denying that it's a different vibe over in Laredice, and Jay Savell is now to the point where it's been so good and so much good press over the first week that yesterday he had to say, hey guys, you know, don't mistake, he didn't say this, I did, but don't mistake my kindness for weakness. We still work our ass off. We still have rules. There's still stuff to abide by just because we play music at the beginning of practice now and let guys wear cheetah print cleats and such. You know, this is still a well-oiled machine over here, and you got to put in the work.
Yeah, so it sounds like there's a really good balance happening there, where it's kind of like, I think we discussed this 2 weeks ago, where he's striking that balance of keeping in, you know, keeping the style of Craig Bull, kind of being that tough guy, but at the same time bending a bit so, you know, he can, you know, like you said, refreshing, change, not really change the culture, but I guess tweak it a little bit.
Exactly. He's doing what he's excelling in the part that Craig Bull was missing. And I spoke to Logan Wilson yesterday, of course, middle linebacker for the Cincinnati Bengals. He told me, you know, Jay Savell, from what I'm hearing, is just such a breath of fresh air, and he's such a good dude. And he said, this day and age, even if it's the NFL, which he has in Cincinnati, a player's coach is almost essential right now. And you're seeing the guys going out of the game, the Craig Bowles, the CEOs, the Nick Sabans, those guys that are total CEOs. Now it's a guy like Jay Savell who's working out with his teammates or working out with his team, asking them how they are, how's the family, all that kind of stuff that means so much to these guys. I told Jalen Sargent, a wide receiver who's been here for 3 years now, who only has two career catches, Jay Savell said you had a great offseason. He's really excited for you. He said, your time's now, and he said, you have no idea what that just did for me to hear that my head coach cares that much and is really paying attention to me.
Wow. And it's crazy how how they're almost they're hearing it in this way. You know, maybe they weren't hearing it in the past, Cody. But you talk about trying to get this offense to the point where, you know, obviously we know the defense is stacked and they churn out great, as you mentioned, linebackers. There was Wilson. They're churning these guys out left and right. But I know the fans, they want to see a little bit more scoring. You know, they got to see it at some point. It sounds like he's trying to build up his receiving core.
Yeah, and that's the other part that obviously was missing under Craig Bull's decade tenure here in Laramie was any semblance of a balanced offense. Jay Sawbill still wants to run the ball, and rightfully so. I mean, he's got an unbelievable stable of backs in the backfield, starting with Harrison Whaley, and of course, they just picked up DJ Jones, a transfer from North Carolina, who began his career as a four-star running back who was sought out by the likes of Michigan out of high school. So, I mean, they have those guys, and they have a ton of returners on the offensive line. Of course, they're going to run the ball, but for the first time ever, that will hopefully set up the pass. And that is something that we have not seen for whatever reason, but now they have a big 6'4", 250-pound quarterback back there with a rocket arm. And something I heard the other day from Coach Sawbill that was just music to the ears of even a reporter was, you know, he said, my new offensive coordinator, I just picture him coming stumbling out of a dark room after watching film for 10 straight hours and just miserable and razor stubble in the whole nine, and said, you know, he told Jay Sawbill, I'm having a hard time figuring out what we're going to do aside from throw the ball to John Michael Gillenborg every single play. You know, and Sawbill said yesterday he better grow a third lung because he is going to be a workhorse. And he's a 6'5", 245-pound junior tight end who has absolute wheels. He is he looks like an NFL tight end, and he runs like an NFL tight end. And they're really excited about a guy like that. And to hear that, an underutilized position like the tight end room, is unbelievable. And another thing that was mentioned is Alex Brown, a 6'4 wide receiver, who CSU fans probably remember caught the winning touchdown against them in Fort Collins 2 years ago. That's the only touchdown pass he's caught, and this is his sixth year on campus. Jay Sawbill has made it a point to say, I am a huge fan of Alex Brown, and I tell him every day how much I appreciate him and how excited I am for him, and I also listen to him. I want him to have a big year. He needs to have a big year.
Yeah, I mean, well, just hearing that, you know, hearing that you're taking a few of these guys that you can empower and give them that confidence too, and say, hey, we are going to be a focal point. It's not just going to be the offense isn't just going to be there to take up some clock and move the ball a couple of first downs. We are expecting to make this a focal point of what we're doing. That has to be such a big deal.
Yeah, no doubt. And another thing, there's a big cuss word that's been used around here the last couple of weeks, and that's spread. They don't run the spread offense in Laramie, Wyoming, you might have heard. Now they are implementing spread. They are hurrying up in practice. They're moving really quick. They're getting to the line. They're signaling in plays. That's just stuff that is so foreign since Dave Christensen's tenure here before Craig Bull showed up. And that was a little too much spread and a little too fast, and the defense was exhausted. Then you get Craig, who, aside from Josh Allen's years, was pound and pound and pound. Now, Jay Sawbill is looking at it and saying, hey, man, we got to strike this balance. We have to. As a defensive coordinator, he says the toughest offenses to face are the ones who can do it all, and he wants to be that offense. And something else he kind of showed his cards on yesterday that I found interesting is, even as the defensive coordinator, Brady, he would say, all right, it's 4th and 2. We're at their, 38-yard line. I mean, we're clearly going for this, right? Nope. Nope. Craig Bull sent John Hoylan out to kick, I believe, 10 kicks of 45 yards or further last year, and he missed 7 of them. And here we are going, what's wrong with All-American kicker John Hoylan? Jay Sawbill said, it wasn't like he was missing point after attempts here. I mean, we were putting him in really bad spots. And, I know I'm going to follow some analytics, but I'm also going to follow my gut. In other words, if it's 4th and 2 at the 38, chances are we're going for it.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be refreshing, too, because that's what the analytics tell you, right, Cody? I mean, that's what it's like. If it's close and you're on a weird side of the field, man, you gotta make a big decision here. And I even go back to that bowl game with Craig Bull. That was, I think, the terrible broadcast of Barstool. They were kind of like, why is he not going for it? This doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and you know, look, I wrote a story yesterday about the fourth down stuff, and Wyoming went for 9 fourth down attempts last year. The only other team in the country who didn't reach double figures in that category was Alabama. And I don't think the Tide really need to go for it on fourth down very often. They won by an average of 19 points a game. They won 11 straight games, 12 overall, made it to the Final Four. you know, I don't think they need to press their luck all that often. Wyoming only going for it 9 times while letting their field goal kicker attempt, you know, 10 45-plus yard field goals is nothing short of criminal in a lot of ways.
Yeah, well, Cody, I mean, it sounds good, and I guess we'll find out more as we go here, but it sounds like you're going to get a nice mix here of keeping, you know, keeping the attention on this defense, but while trying to refocus some of that on the offense. Is there a concern that there's a shift that you go over to the offensive side because you know it's been so, you know, again, I'm not going to say bad, it's just been conservative. Is there a concern that maybe the focus drifts away from the defensive side of the ball?
I don't think so, because Aaron Bowl is the new defensive coordinator. He's been in this program for 5 years. Obviously, he's got it in his DNA. Craig was, you know, the architect of some pretty good defenses there in Lincoln, Nebraska for all those years. So he's got that, plus he has Jay Sauvel. And Jay has made no bones about it. They're not going to change anything on that side of the ball. Not to mention they have 10 returning starters and a ton of guys who were rotated in and out of the lineup last year. So they don't really need to change a lot over there. What they do need to do is they need to find a second cornerback, no doubt about that. And Keoni Parks being hurt this offseason does not help. But, you know, I'm not worried about the defensive side at all. The defensive ends were beat up all last year. They were supposed to be a real strength for this team, but they just could not get healthy at the same time last year. And then Jordan Bertinoli was also beat up. He's out this spring as well, but you know, Shea Suino is moving over to the middle linebacker spot. He's been in this program for 5 years. He's a guy who you fully expect can carry on that middle linebacker tradition that you mentioned. Logan Wilson, Chad Muma, Easton Gibbs, those guys have carried for so many years. So I don't think you're worried really at all about this defense. And to be honest, I'm really excited, Brady. It's going to be on full display. We actually get to go to practice. It's open to the media, open to the public on Saturday. And then they're going to do it again next Saturday. And then we'll get the spring game a couple weeks after that. So this is more access than we've ever had. And just really excited to see it with our own eyes. And then, you know, we'll be able to tell the fans if they are in trouble in any facet here. So it's really nice to be able to say it without having to rely on a bunch of people who might be giving you the company line.
Cody, appreciate your coverage, man. What's the weather going to do Saturday? I mean, be careful, man. It might get kind of crazy.
It's going to be indoors. They've already decided.
Oh, okay, good. There you go. There you go.
The drive from Cheyenne's a little hairy, but we'll get it done.
All right, man. Well, take care of yourself, Cody. Always appreciate you. Great stuff available for Cowboys fans at 7220sports.com. We'll look forward to catching up with you next week. Get your thoughts on you know, what you saw on Saturday.
Thanks, pal. And in all sincerity, congratulations to you guys for growing. That's really cool, and really excited for the future of your program and your station.
I appreciate you, man. You're such a huge part of it. No question about it. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Thanks, Brady. See you, pal.
Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. 36 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Chevron, here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA, 41 minutes after the hour. The poll question of the day, presented by Chipper's Lanes, is: do you think Nikola Jokic will pass up Alex English as the all-time scoring leader for the Denver Nuggets? First advantage again. That text line is 888-530-0043. A fun show today, man. We had great guests. Mike Sanford joined us earlier, talked about the draft. And he made some really good points about Michael Penix Jr. You know, he thinks that Bo Nix would be a reach at 12, but Penix Jr. would actually make perfect sense at 12. The concern now, again, with his stock on the rise, is will he be there at 12? So Sanford told us that he's like, I think he's going to be there at 12, but he doesn't think he's going to be there right after. He thinks the Raiders would go after Michael Penix. Well, then the question is, Angel, if the Raiders really like him, what's to stop them from getting aggressive and moving up? If they would take him at 13, then they'd probably take him at 6 or 7.
Yeah, just seeing a CBS mock draft here, they have the Broncos taking Terrion Arnold at 12 and then Penix going at 13.
I just really want a quarterback. I know we debated this yesterday and we talked about next year and all that stuff. It's time to get your guy. And odds are, I mean, what are the odds that three of these guys work out? Do you feel good about that? That three of them work out?
Yeah.
That three
I don't
do?
Think I'm not going to have Caleb Williams there.
So you don't have the sure, the quote unquote sure thing working out?
No.
So you remove that. Drake May?
I think so. I think he can be a Sam Howell type. And your definition of if it's working out, he's still starting.
He's still starting, yeah. J.J. McCarthy. That's the big
In
question
the right
mark.
System, I think he can.
Yeah, that's a system. He's a system quarterback right now. Jaden Daniels.
Yes, based on just his talent.
So it sounds like you're thinking Jaden has the better chance of succeeding, and then Drake would be kind of like an average starter at best. J.J. McCarthy, the ceiling's high if you get to the right system, but if you get to the wrong system, you could be Sam Darnold. How's my aim on that one?
Yep.
Okay. Michael Penix Jr.
I think probably in between May and Daniels.
See, I think that Penix, my biggest hang-up is the injuries, and he's 2 years injury-free. He's got bad shoulders, bad knees, but are they really bad? Because he passed all the tests. He passed all the physicals. So I was high on Penix Jr. I was. And then you had the national championship game, and then we talked more about the injuries. And then the national guy started to get to me, too, and all the draft boards were moving him around, and I'm like, what do they know? Typically, they don't just move guys for the sake of moving guys. So what do they know? But I liked him. I actually thought he was moving up as far as stock. I thought he was moving up there next to Caleb Williams for a moment. So I really was into that. That was my gut. That was my gut feel about four months ago, was that Michael Penix Jr. would look really good in a Broncos uniform. And that was obviously once I knew the Broncos were going to be in the top 15 and all that stuff. And then I started to heat up with that. I've never been extremely excited about Drake May. J.J. McCarthy, I agree with you. And I don't know if the Broncos are that system. I don't. How similar are the Broncos to what Michigan was doing? I mean, we didn't see anything. We didn't see that last year. But was that just a Russell Wilson, Sean Payton mix combo kind of deal to try to see what that offense is? So, but I'm not extremely excited about JJ. Jaden Daniels excites me because I enjoy personally running quarterbacks. I don't think Sean Payton's out on that. I've heard some people say he's not into that. I think he wanted it to work out with, what's his face?
Taysom Hill. Winston, either one.
Yeah, Taysom Hill. I think he wanted it to work out with him. I think that was the plan. Was, hey, Drew Brees will be gone one day, and this is going to be the guy. Well, Drew Brees wasn't really gone anytime soon, and Taysom Hill kind of just kept proving to be more of a, Swiss Army knife type guy. But Sean wanted something like that. So Jaden, I would be excited about. If I had my pick and they were all available to me, I would take Jaden Daniels. If it were me, I would draft Jaden Daniels. The next on that list, Caleb Williams is there. Are we concerned about personality traits? And obviously some people really don't like the fingernails and the cell phone and the lipstick stuff. My only thing to that, and again, I guess do you dress how you want to dress and all that stuff? Is he an attention seeker? Would be my question from that. I don't have a problem. If you want to go paint your nails and put smiley faces on them and, you know, whatever you want to do, do it. Unless that impacts your character and your choices. I'm just going to say it out loud. I have never seen a quarterback paint their nails like that and wear lipstick and have a pink cell phone. I've never seen it. Does that mean he's going to be a terrible human being and all that? I don't think that's what that means. It makes it, to me, it seems like he knew the cameras were going to be on that night. He's at a USC game, right? But mm-hmm. the cameras are going to be on. So let me steal some of the limelight. That is where my head went. And that would have been the same whether he was wearing lipstick or he came in with, you know, Elton John sunglasses or one of those big caps now, the giant caps that you can mm-hmm. wear. Something like that. I would have just said, oh, he wants attention today. That would be the same, whether it was pink lipstick or whatever, or a nose ring. Don't care. Don't care what it is. The question still exists. Is it just about attention? So I still find myself not absolutely drooling over Caleb Williams like a lot of people are, and a lot of people have been. I mean, didn't Penix beat – wasn't it when it was – Washington beat USC this year, right? Yep. Penix looked like the better quarterback in that game. So, Angel, I'm probably at Jaden Daniels and then Michael Penix Jr. And that's crazy because Caleb's the obvious choice, but I just there's something. There's something there that just I'm not sure what it is. And it does go back to that Washington game for me. It goes back to wanting part ownership, to he'll do what Primetime's talking about with Shador, he'll choose where he wants to go. To jumping up in the stands and crying after losing a regular season game to Washington. And then now this, again, it's about the attention. Is that a big concern for teams? But I think Penix will be there at 12, and the Broncos might not have to go crazy here. So I do like Michael Penix Jr. to be the starting quarterback. If it's Bo Nix, I still don't know if it's a reach. It depends on who you ask. Sanford said it was a reach. I don't think I'm going to come on the air the next day or the next Monday, or maybe it'll be Friday, and say, oh, the Broncos reached and it's over if they get Bo Nix. I'll say, it's riskier than some of the other moves they could have made, but I don't hate the move. I'm ready for a quarterback. I'm ready to go get behind a guy and try to root for this dude and see if he's going to be the next franchise quarterback for the Broncos. 49 minutes after the hour. Angel, what did we learn? That's coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
Get your game day forecast with meteorologist Cody Wilson. Fridays on Good Morning NoCo, only on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, what?
What did we learn on this third day of April? I learned, hey, here's something I learned. Mark Johnson was on with us, the voice of the Buffs. I'm going to say it. He didn't give us an overwhelmingly confident answer that Primetime was going to be back as the head coach after next season, did he? He said who knows? Everyone's trying to read the tea leaves. Did his daughter enter the portal? Did Brian Howell posted that? I mean, so you got to wonder about that stuff. I don't know if he'll be back after next year. I really don't. If I had to make a guess, I'm going to say yes, I think. But that's kind of what I learned. Angel, what'd you learn today?
Learned that it's cool to have Nuggets and Avs on KFKA nowadays.
That's really fun. Big night tomorrow night.
And yeah, the Nuggets are as you kind of said, not looking for style points at this point, but now you're starting to calculate what that magic number is to get at least the 2 seed.
Everything's still in front of them right now. The 1 seed's in front of them because they control their own destiny right now, don't they?
They are a half game up on OKC and Minnesota.
They can break their all-time regular season NBA record if they win out, or they just got to win, what are they, 52, 53, 53?
53.
So they need to win 5 games? Mm-hmm. They got to win all but one?
Right.
That's tough, but it's there. It's in front of you. So we're seeing special stuff happen there. But you're right. It's exciting to have the Nuggets and Avalanche. I'll tell you what. We have the first Nuggets game set to air tomorrow. Also high school baseball. We're talking to the programming team today. We're going to see if we can pull off the trifecta. Get all three. Get the high school baseball game because the Avs play like 2 hours earlier than the Nuggets.
Yes.
So we might be able to make it happen. We got the crew. We got the brain trust back there trying to figure this out. So we'll see what we can do. But either way, we'll have Nuggets tomorrow and then Avs again on Friday. It's a great time, man. We're pumped at what we're doing here. It's a big thing. Appreciate everybody calling in, wanting to be on, talk about it. Mike Sanford, Cody Tucker mentioning it, of course, and some of the outlets throughout the state of Colorado. It's been a really, really cool day, and just love it. Love the crew here at KFKA. All right, Angel, when we come back at it tomorrow, we'll get into the NBA standings. We'll look at that deeper. We're going to get deeper into the NFL draft too, some other teams, and see what some of these teams are looking at as far as those players. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Thursday. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.